Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. I tell you this, we are in a real gunfight down here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. It's just like the OK Corral with the Earth Brothers, and two of the Earth Brothers has jumped ship and joined the mob. I tell you, we are in a real fist fight here. I mean, guns blazing and everything. Whirlpool had came in and persuaded the candidates that we were backing to join their side to make sure that they have everything they need. You know, some of the things that's happening down here, you would never believe unless you live here. Nobody would believe that black folks is like this. I mean, that plantation mentality have taken over the city of Benton Harbor. You don't know who to shoot if you was in a shootout. That's how it look. But before I get into that, I want to tell everybody I'm going to celebrate my 12th year of court watching, January the 16th. But here's what happened this week. I had a couple of individuals that came from all over the world. People come from all over the world to engage in court watching with me to see the extreme corruption and racism for themselves. The reputation is spreading. I saw a lot of the government of the state of Michigan that has allowed this inhumane court to operate out of control. On Tuesday, October the 25th, Chow Ru from South Korea, Gilberto from Mexico, joined me at the courthouse. And they were shocked at what they saw. Judge Dennis Wiley belittled a parade of black folks who went before him. His treatment was extremely harsh, and I call it unusual punishment because he was there. He was dishing out. He looked like he was intoxicated once again. But what they're doing now, they're trying to cover up and protect this man, a known alcoholic. Attorney Ted Parrish, who is a very close friend of mine, also my attorney, he had this client, one of the Ted Parrish, Judge Wiley, called him a liar almost to his face. He told him that the young man, that his client, had not smoked marijuana in 10 days. Judge Wiley said marijuana comes out of your system in 7 days, which he knew that was not true. Because in some cases, it has in the fat. It stores in the fat cells of the body, in the brain, the liver, and the kidney. THC can stay in the body, a person body, for 90 days, and in the hair for 3 months to 3 years. The reality is that America, which proclaimed itself the land of the free, has the most dishonest and dangerous legal system of any developed nation. Legal corruption is covering Americans like a blanket. When there is no struggle, there is no progress. We must occupy every single courtroom in this country, everywhere. Let's start occupying these courtrooms. Let's show them what we can do. I tell you, and now let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. But before we bring on the co-host, I just want to read some information right fast in reference to Whirlpool, who we've been battling down here like never before. And here's the bottom line. We are winning. This is what I want people to understand. We are spanking Whirlpool good. We right now, they're in, here, let me read this. It said Whirlpool will cut 10% of its North American and European workforce, or about 5,000 jobs, after they discovered that people are not buying their product. Our result was negatively impacted by the recession. This is what Jeff Fettig, the CEO and president, said. He said, people are not buying our product. He said, according to the AP, the job cut would include 1,200 salary positions. The company would also close out his plant in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He said the recession had created soft demand for appliances from Whirlpool, Maytag, and KitchenAid. He said they are raising the cost for everything that comes from them. There will be an increase in cost. Whirlpool, the world's biggest auto appliance maker, had raised prices again, but also facing pressure from discount competitors. Shares fell Friday by over 14%. The company is about to hit rock bottom. The company also cut its 2011 earning outlook. The third quarter result failed to meet expectations. Whirlpool had turned to emerging markets, which has also suffered a slowdown. Costs have hit the entire appliance industry. Electrolux said its third quarter net income was good, but it wasn't as good as they expect. But here's the deal. We have to not buy Whirlpool products. It's crucial that people understand that we got to keep the pressure on these blood-sucking corporations. We got to show them what we are made of. It's crucial that the people understand that we can win some of these battles. Matter of fact, never before in the history of Whirlpool, at one time, they have more appliances, more stove, refrigerator, washer, and dryers. They have over 74% of all stove, refrigerator, washer, and dryers in the world. 74%. They have a monopoly. But if we can make them fall, which I know we can, if we continue not to buy their product, we're going to be right on top of it. Hey, I tell you, I am happy today. I am ecstatic today. Matter of fact, this has made my week when I hear that Whirlpool is failing. And it's going to continue to fall as long as we do not buy their product. So remember this. Do not buy products from Whirlpool. Even if it's at a discount, do not buy their product. Now let me bring in my co-host, Ralph Porn. Ralph Porn, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm very happy, you know, that you're able to announce that. And I think along with that, what people have to understand is the profit margin is like 5%. And if we can get 5% of that market not buying, we can put them out of business. Now, we surely, as a people who have money, even though they have taken it throughout the history of the legal and illegal injustice system of America, we still have the economic power to bring them down, and you have proven that. And so, as you say, we must continue. We don't have to stop everybody from buying Whirlpool.
No.
We just have to stop ourselves. And
that's
when we stop ourselves, we will make that 5% and put them out of business. People would say, oh, you can't do it. Yes, you proved it. And the way you did it is you cut out their profit margin. And without a profit margin, corporations cease to exist. So when Mary Neal talks about days of not shopping, yes, this is effective. Don't worry about your neighbor. Do what you know you have to do. Listen to those who are out front leading us in this economic sanctions and stop these corporations. So thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and thank you. We must continue doing what you were talking about. Because it is working, and we're going to have to go to the shopping malls and occupy them and say, stop shopping. But if we can occupy our own communities of color, because, boy, we can get very guilty. You know, sometimes I feel hurt, and I know why we do it. When they deprive of us of everything else, the dollars that you have, that you suffered to get and you earn, you try to show your humanity with your children, your friends. But we have to say, we have to look to other reasons or other ways of showing our humanity to our children and say, hey, we're not buying that. We're just going to do it. We're going to use our economic sanctions. And I'm so glad you were talking about, you know, like the legal injustice, you know, system. And we must always remember, it didn't start yesterday.
No.
The legal injustice history was that of slavery, the history of dismantling Reconstruction, the history of Jim Crow, the history of fighting the civil rights movement, the system of Bill Clinton and sleeping Negro politicians passed the anti-terrorist effective death penalty, which took us right back to states' rights, the Patriot Act, and it goes on and on. And we must stop these people by educating ourselves to the reality of this government. And we must always, you know, the history, You know, as Fannie Lou Hamer says, I like when you play Martin Luther King. I would like to hear you play a little Fannie Lou Hamer when, you know, like when she did the Freedom Democratic Party and the Democrats refused to, you know, support her or to seat, you know, the black people who had fought and took beatings to vote. And when she says, well, we were ready for freedom, but the black, what did she call them? Let me get it exactly right. The black Democratic loyalists were not ready for freedom.
Mm.
We have to talk about the black Democratic loyalists headed by Mr. Obama. And we have to be careful of the people like, what's his name? Tavis Smiley and which is the in-house communist, Cornel West.
Cornel West.
Tuck. And then at the same time saying, we have to give Obama room. And I'm saying, and as I said last week, any more room, and we will all be lynched. And we
Oh, absolutely. Hey,
every
Rob,
minute.
Let me ask you this question. You know, Cornel West was arrested just recently.
Yes, but he doesn't get arrested like you and I get arrested.
Yeah. I told somebody the same thing. I said, that's not a real arrest.
Yeah.
I said, they arrested him and took him to the steakhouse.
That's right. It doesn't work. Now, as a person who has been arrested, I know what an arrest is. You bear the marks on your wrist for months. You know, what you, you know, the handcuffs and the... which is they have the new plastic wrap. No, they don't get arrested the way the rest of us get arrested. And so it's easy to take an arrest, and they like to get arrested because if you watch that arrest, then you know they've given instructions, not that guy. But don't you try what they're doing unless you're serious, because they will hurt you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And here's the thing, in Oakland, they're actually hurting people.
Hey.
He got brain damage almost in Oakland. Yeah, I think he's a veteran also.
Well, one of the interesting things is that we've had our history, you know, of white people saying what the truth is. You know, we have Lynn Stewart who says anybody white who doesn't admit the skin privilege, you know, like something is wrong with them, or they enjoy the skin privilege that they have been that has been available to them, and so. But it was said before about what is happening in the American judicial system in terms of this idea of imperialist America, and I think on your program I have asked the question many times. What would happen in white America if they understood their skin privilege and what they got back from imperialism, their role and whatever profit they get? Now, I know the unions fight for a bigger piece of the profit of imperialism, and they do not fight against imperialism for the most part. But I always said, what would happen if they understood what their role in the imperialist design would be? Would they fight against it, or would they support it? And I'm getting my answer more and more every day. They would support it. But you see, but they also have to understand, when the imperialists cannot take it from other people, 1949, when the Chinese threw off the European domination, and then the Vietnamese, and then the Cambodians, and then those in Thailand, those in Indonesia, those in South America, they're going to take it from us. Here we are in the period where they've taken it from us. And these most recent cuts proposed with Mr. Obama, these draconian cuts, listen to this. I'm going to try to get the numbers exactly right. $8.5 billion comes out of Medicare and Medicare and food care, and they give $8.4 billion to those who have been taxed for vacation homes.
Mm.
Right? Medicare and food, we take that away and give it to those who need, as the president feels, and the Democrats and Republicans feel, that they need to be freed of taxes for their vacation homes. And if that doesn't say it all, the people who are confused about the class struggle, the struggle of wealth against the poor, those who are confused about which class they belong to, all they have to do is look at that and see, does that help them or does that hurt them? So, as you say, Reverend, I like when you open up the program and say, this is a glorious week, we're getting ahead. Well, they're hurting us bad, but we're beginning to understand through the acts of people like yourself who are out there straightening it out and telling it every day as to what we must do and getting people to look at the court system. This is one of the weapons of the imperialist capitalist people. The court system keeps us in line. So,
wow. Let me say this to you, too, because on January the 16th is going to be my 12th year of court watching. Mm-hmm. And people have been coming from all over the world just to view the Berrien County Courthouse here in Michigan. Nobody will believe what they see. When the first person I take them in to see is Judge Dennis Wiley. And what he normally do, here's what makes this is just so important. He usually accommodates me on what I need to show them. I mean, he gets up there, and here's what he did just the other day. And he, like Ted Parrish, that's my attorney. He's the one who defended me. And he was one of my attorneys, let's put it that way. And what he did, he told the judge, he said, Wiley, you know, that the guy came back with a positive for marijuana. He said, yeah, but he'd been in jail. He just got out of jail, so he had not used marijuana for 10 days. He said, no, that's impossible. You know, marijuana only stays in your system for 7 days, and that's stretching it. And he was about to call Ted Parrish a liar, you know. And Ted said, well, I think you owe me an apology. You know, let's deal with the facts. So what we did, I knew better. I started to raise my hand and tell him that I knew it would be a war inside that courtroom if I would have just, you know, just show him that he was wrong. Ted was so cool. He just masterfully insulted the judge in a real nice way. And then when nobody laughed in the courtroom, but I was just laughing. I said, Ted, you told him, didn't you? He said, yeah, but don't let him know. He don't think. Well, he didn't look at that as being a slap in his face, but he slapped his butt around that day. He slapped him around in a real sophisticated way. See, Ted Parrish, he's a Harvard grad, and he sit down if that means anything. But he's like. He did it in such a nice way that the poor judge, he got so mad that he didn't know what to do, but he couldn't do nothing because the courtroom was full, and I was there taking notes. So I tell you, I'm just happy to be able to go over there, and I wish that we can occupy every single courthouse every single day.
I'm telling people
may not know this, but it's going to make a major difference if you go there. I'm telling you this.
Yes, yes. It is so clear and so obvious. Everyone in America understands it. And it's so, and we go along with it. We expect injustice done to the poor and the people of color, and we expect a superior form of justice done to the wealthy. As a matter of fact, Japanese television came to New York to do a story on the court system.
Mm.
So, and Lynn Stewart had a young, poor Latino man who was on trial, and not on trial, but was at arraignment. So just before her client got there, there was a rich young white man who was there with his two lawyers and their suits and ties and they went before the judge on in a crime, and he got released on his own recognizance. So wouldn't you know, the next client, you know, the next case was Lynn Stewart. You know, they called the young man, and Lynn Stewart got up, and before she got through the bench, the judge said, released on his own recognizance. Well, see, Lynn was coming to the bench like she was shot from a cannon. And the judge threw it, so everyone laughed. And the cameraman, they didn't understand what was so funny. You know, and even the judge laughed. Well, when Lynn Stewart went up there, she said, "You're letting this man go." And so the judge didn't want to hear it. So before he opened up his mouth, you know, he says, released on your own recognizance. So it was a funny moment. But you see, somebody coming from someplace else would not understand that.
Right.
Unless they were familiar with the history of the courts, and they were familiar with the history of Lynn Stewart. This is an issue of hers, you know, like the injustices done to people of color and poor people. She would, you know, like come out of there like waving a red flag to a bull, and the judge wouldn't let her open up her mouth. It's just released on his own recognizance.
Wow.
He don't want to know about the case. He doesn't want to hear Lynn Stewart's mouth.
And he don't want the people to know, the people that's there.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. That's another reason why he did. He don't want people in the gallery to know that that this happened, because it's obvious he did something that wasn't right and it wasn't fair.
And he knew the fight was coming. Little did he know that this unemployed young man, you know, like had Lynn Stewart as an attorney. But when he saw her coming, he just said, released her. And it just broke the courthouse up. Everybody's sitting waiting to go before the judge. And the Japanese cameramen and crew, they were looking around like, what's so funny about that?
Because they
don't know about
it. No, they don't. And that's what I try to tell them. I tell them all
America.
The time. I want them to come. You know, you got to come for a whole week, at least 2 weeks.
Yes.
To understand exactly what's going on. You can't come just one day.
Yeah.
You know, I told them, like, I have been doing this for years, so I know every move they're going to make. Matter of fact, I know who's going to be released and who's not going to be released. That's how much I know. I know
and
who's going to win
the
case.
The war on drugs, as everybody knows, there's no war on drugs. There's a war on us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we have to understand how it is misused. And I like the young man who does the program. On, you know, he's of Jewish ancestry, and he tells the story of his college days, and in New Orleans, at Xavier University, and he says, and he answers the question, why do black kids get arrested so much when they use drugs? And he says, because they do it in a black neighborhood. If they were to come to Xavier University, where when he was going there, young people had just knocked themselves out with drugs, and nobody, young white people, no one ever arrested. So his conclusion was that because they do it in black neighborhoods, tongue in cheek, he knew exactly what the issue was. But when he tells the story, it rings home. It rings so true, and everybody in America knows it's true. And Nixon, it's in his papers, he said, let's just arrest all of those leftists for using drugs. And that, you know, but we knew it before that. The marijuana, you know, the use of arresting people for marijuana. You remember the marijuana, the movie that they made, Marijuana Madness, and it's supposed to make black men more, what is that, if a black man were to smoke marijuana, he was more subject to rape a white woman. And if a white woman smoked marijuana, she was more subject to like it. And this was the movie, and this was what the attitudes that they created, you know, in the 30s. And the attack against the black jazz musicians, you know, supposedly on you know, with drugs, but it was a bad joke, and it has always been a bad joke, and we update it to the attack on black athletes for using it, but white athletes use 10 times as much, but they don't get arrested.
Absolutely.
It has always been, you know, a way of attacking the black community. And I always say, well, that's their weapon. But I get so angry when people, so-called people of color, go for that. You're people in the churches. We need more drug arrests. No, we don't.
No,
we
absolutely not.
We need more education, and there won't be a drug arrest. Or as I always tell somebody, you know, like, and I sometimes see police doing something, and I says, make pretend you're in a white neighborhood when you see these so-called petty crimes. Somebody smoking a joint. Make pretend you're in a white neighborhood. And some of them have the sense to turn red face, and others have, you know, should tell me, mind my own business. And I'm saying, this is my business. And they say, they're going to arrest me. I says, okay, arrest me with charge. You know, generally, you know, like it falls at that point, you know, what charge are you going to arrest me for telling the truth about what's going on? You see, in white neighborhoods, somebody drinking a beer in their neighborhood, in their driveway, on their steps, it's okay. In a black neighborhood or Latino neighborhood, somebody sitting on their steps drinking a bottle of beer, boom, they're arrested. So it's a war on us. And no big deal in those type of arrests.
But what I want to know, how come we don't know this? How come we continue to allow them to beat up on us? Why do we continue to allow us to do this? All we have to do is come together against these folks. This Occupy Wall Street is so important. It is bringing together different races of people. See, this is one issue that everybody should be part of. We talk about the Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, blacks, whites, Asians, whatever it is, we should be part of it. Everybody should be part of this. And here's the thing, it's growing.
Yes. We should begin occupying institutions in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear black people say, well, I don't go because if I go in their neighborhood, I'll be the one getting arrested. And so I said, that's true. So let us do it in our neighborhoods. These institutions.
Well, I figure we do it in our own neighborhood, we got a better chance of getting arrested anyway. I would be with them if I can, because I got a better chance with them than I do in my own neighborhood.
Yeah, well, that makes sense also. But we have to get in the street and get involved. Even though I know all of the reasons why black people do not go, but we have to do better. We must get involved and we must protest. And the basic thing we must do that is told to us over and over by our intellectuals, and I'm talking about progressive intellectuals who write about it, what we must do is read their writing. They tell us what's going on. They tell us very clearly, but we don't seem to pay attention. And so...
Do you think we have an attention span it appears to me that we're so busy doing nothing that we want to continue to do something. I mean, do nothing until something happens. This is what I see. Like in the city of Benton Harbor, people don't do nothing here. Now here's the thing: when the EFM came in and fired the mayor and the commissioners. Then they wanted to fight, and then they wanted Reverend Pinckney to fight with them. All before this, they didn't want to fight with me. They didn't want to support me. They didn't want to do any. Even now, they really don't want to support me, but they almost have to because most of the people are in support of me. So in order for them to get some support, they have to act like they're supporting me. But we black folks, we got to do this thing for ourselves. If we don't want to do it for ourselves, let's do it for our children and our children's children. Let's continue doing what needs to be done, Ralph. We got to take this thing to a whole different level.
Well,
we got to change
Highland
the way
Garnett
our people are
stated
thinking.
So well, the people who are oppressed are best at doing the work of ridding themselves of the oppression. Now, I notice, I see the students who are fighting for their rights. Fighting the hikes in tuition, fighting the interest that they have to pay on student loans, the whole idea that students should pay money to become educated for the nation. And here we have a society, people don't know, that in the 50s in New York, higher education was free. It can be done. It's no big deal. In Cuba, it's free.
Yeah.
In industrialized nations around the world, free. And not only is it not free here, is our leaders, our democratic leaders, are making it worse. They're taking the price of education down to the elementary schools. Privatization. This gives more money to the corporations. You got to give them some Martin Luther King, and I wish you would play that one over and over and over again, the one that says, judge a man not by the color of his skin, but the content of his character. Because we just keep forgetting that.
We just keep
forgetting it. And we say, oh, well, you know, he black, ain't he? I says, well, he may be, but you have to look and see what he does rather than, you know, as my mother said, don't make my mother a liar. She says,
right.
Beauty is as beauty does.
That's
and
right.
We're not doing it beautifully, then we can't be considered, you know, beautiful. And,
absolutely.
But here's the root thing. You say, why don't we do it? And this is a basic thing that we must get through to ourselves and everybody around us. As people of color, it goes into two different strains of thought. One where we think that we have to join with the establishment as individuals, and we don't understand that we can only join the masses as a group. And then there are those of us who don't want to be citizens of Rome. We say we have to change Rome.
That's right.
We have these different thoughts. So when somebody says we must be together, I says, yes, but together with who? Together with anybody who has a progressive way of thinking that Rome must be changed. These are the people we ally ourselves with, not with those who want to become citizens of Rome.
Mm.
And there's so many who work so hard to become citizens of Rome. And I'm saying Colin Powell, you know, he wanted to be a citizen of Rome. And he only in his late day at the end of his career did he realize that he could never become a citizen of Rome.
You are 100% correct. You are right. And let me say this to you, Ralph. You are 100% correct. And he found out that he could not be with that hierarchy. He could not handle that situation. But listen, let me read you some of this stuff about Libya, what Libya did for what Gaddafi did for his people. Now, most people don't know this, but Gaddafi was getting ready to put up $300 million for a satellite. They're charging the continent of Africa right now $500 million. To broadcast any to have this satellite, but Gaddafi was willing to put up $300. All they need the rest of the of Africa, the whole continent, all they had to do was put up $100 million more, and they would have their own satellite because it only cost $400 million to have one. But here's some of the things that Gaddafi did in Libya. Now listen to this: there is no electric bill in Libya. Electricity is free for all the citizens. There's no interest on a bank loan. Libya are state-owned and loan given to all its citizens at 0% interest by law. Having a home is considered a human right. Having your own home is considered a human right. All newlyweds in Libya receive $50,000 by the governor to buy their first apartment or home to help them start up the family. Education and medical treatment are free in Libya. Wow. Should Libya want to take a farming career, they will receive all the farming gear, they will receive the land, they will receive everything they need, plus a subsidy for them to live off while they have the farm. If Libya cannot find the education or medical facility that they want, the government funds them. Let me make sure I'm correct by saying that. find them to go abroad, for it is not only paid for in full, but they get a $2,300 a month for accommodation and car allowance. That means when they come over here, they get a car allowance. If a Libyan buys a car, the government subsidizes 50% of the price. The price of petroleum in Libya is 14 cents per liter. Libya has no eternal debt, and its reserve amount is $150 billion. But they are now frozen by NATO. If a Libyan is unable to get employment after graduating from college, the state will pay the average salary of the profession as if he or she is employed until employment is found. A portion of every Libya oil sale is credited directly to the bank account of all Libyans, not just some, all. Everybody receives money when they sell oil. A mother who gives birth to a child received $5,000. It says here, 40 loaves of bread in Libya cost 15 cents. 25% of all Libyans has a university degree. Gaddafi, what he did, he carried out the world's largest immigration project known as the Great Man-Made River Project to make water readily available throughout the whole desert in the country. Now, these are 16, but also with the satellite is 17 things that Gaddafi did, and they calling him a dictator. How will a dictator do these things? Wow!
And one of
Ralph,
the things that
you
we
talk
have
to me.
I am one who am ignorant of these facts that you have just quoted, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to list them, print them, and check them off as they are lost
yes.
by new government and this new, I think Mr. Obama said, we are going to be involved in the economy and government of Libya, you know, the UN and United States, and let's see how many of these things are retained after they get involved. And I said,
it says down here, they all will be taken away.
Yes.
Every last one of them. The Libya will never know this type of living ever again.
I can see that, but I'm going to make a list and then check them off.
Yeah.
They are taken away. And I can just see those in America licking their chops, you know, and the Libyan people don't No, let me not go that far. There are some of the Libyan people who understand perfectly what that means, and they are the ones being prepared, robbing those warehouses and taking those guns. And America was concerned about those surface-to-air missiles, which is a equalizer, which can be an equalizer in this struggle. So, you know, when you read Shakespeare, you know, and Julius Caesar, and I always quote one of the statements that he says to a soothsayer, you know, like as a prophet, and the prophet says, beware the Ides of March, Caesar. And around March the 1st, Caesar says to the prophet, well, the Ides of March are here. And the answer is, the Ides of March have come, Caesar. They have not gone.
Wow.
Well, in March, he got his. And
absolutely.
So I say, the Ides of March have come. In
hey, Ralph, you got about 2 minutes. Can you give me a little Lynn Stewart? I got to bring on Mary.
Okay. Lynn Stewart she always reminds me, Ralph, I'm in jail. And you can get her email. I get the address to write to her, looking at the email. Online, Lynn Stewart, LYNNE Stewart, STEWART .org. But she has had a victory. You know, she's, as I said, she'll be the greatest jailhouse lawyer ever. And one of the people would come to her, when you get a release date, it has to be figured out. you know, like at what court it was in, what jurisdiction, federal, local, how many days you get for time served in federal,
mm-hmm.
how many days you get for local, how many days, et cetera. So a woman was in no man's land, and she got her papers to Lynn, and Lynn worked on them, and the young lady wrote, you know, to the various jurisdictions in the government. And when the announcement came the other day that she gets out December 3rd, the whole prison was very happy about it. Lynn was happy about it. And people, you know, like she's having success behind the bars in liberating, she says, women who never should have been in prison.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm happy for her there. And we're waiting to hear the day that her case is going to be heard. You know,
well, I'm going to try to come to New York when,
yes.
Or wherever the case be. Me and my wife, I'm going to make a commitment that we're going to try to come. And especially if things work out like I'm planning, I'm going to be able to travel pretty soon, and I'm going to do some incredible things. But listen, Ralph, on that note, I got to go to Mary. Mary, are you there?
Great. I am here, Reverend. Forgive me for being late signing on. How is everyone?
Everybody's doing great.
I was just finishing up an article I want y'all to know about. It's called Lynching America. Lynching America. America is being lynched. Now, lynching is not something, it's just not confined to killing, okay? Lynching was a whole process laid out by a man called Willie Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
He was a successful slave owner down in the West Indies. And he was invited to America to teach these slave owners here how to treat slaves. Now, one man, Henty Bailey, said, "We, if possible, closed every avenue by which made fair, that is, the slave's mind. We extinguished capacity to see light, for work would be complete.
Mm-hmm.
We then be on a level with the beast of the field." And see, the thing is that they don't like what you're doing, Reverend. You are bringing together people to discuss the problems that exist in America. You don't discriminate between white people, black people. I even heard you say you had some Tea Party people to come to one of the marches that you got together.
Yes.
And they don't like that because what they fear most is black, white, Native Americans, Latinos, all this so-called slave class people. They are afraid of us coming together and recognizing that we are oppressed socially and economically, and we have the same oppressor, and that is the 1%. That's what Occupy Movement is all about. It's all about coming together all across this great land and throughout the world and realizing that we have a common enemy. And that enemy is not the people of the 1%, because I dare say that there are some very wealthy people who are not a part of the oppressive program. For
mm-hmm.
instance, Google. Did you know that Google had to refuse the U.S. government telling them to take down a video of police brutality? And they just released information that they were ordered to take down out of YouTube video of police brutality, and they refused to do it. We can all thank God that we have a really major internet company is not with this oppressive regime. We can all be grateful for that, because if Google turned against freedom, we'd all be in much more trouble than we're already in, and I tell you, we are in trouble.
Mm.
So it's not because we're coming together. And when the people came together and realized that war is the number one reason why we don't have money for an abundant life here in America, when we came together around realization, things changed.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, President Obama called the ending of Iraqi war. Now, we know that war is continuing to rage and it's actually proliferating on some fronts, but the idea that part of the war is over. That's what's reported, and that those men and women will be on their holidays, I think is a direct result of the fact that we are waking up. But listen to me. They didn't want us to wake up. A part of lynching people was to keep them blind. Willard Lynch, in his letter, said that it is very important to control language. That's why they step out slaves being able to speak in their native tongue. Right now, what they want to do is take over the internet, Reverend Pinckney. They do not want you on Blog Talk. They do not want me in my blog, Free Speak Blog, Mary Loves Justice, on her pages. They do not want me Neil to have a voice. They do not want Reverend Pinckney to have a voice. They do not want any voices going out to the that will define this image of America being the conquering human rights savior. So therefore, they want to silence us. They have an excuse. They want to put forth the idea that they are protecting artists' creative product. So they have two bills pending, and they are dangerous to freedom in America first and across the world. Because if they defeat freedom here, the gate is open to go ahead and the new world order takes over the world. And these are Senate bills, 8, and also...
Mary, you kind of like breaking up a little bit.
3261. Look it up. That's Lynching America, Mary Neal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you was breaking up a little bit. We kind of here. Give us that number again.
All right. Well, they can just look up Lynching America, Mary Neal. That's at her pages. But these are out that they want to take over this country.
I'm losing you. I'm losing you, Mary. Your phone is really fading out. But let me
okay,
say this while you...
Right here. Let me go right here. I think I'm going to send these numbers. That is Senate Bill 968. Just put in S, period, 968. And also, House Resolution, you can just put H.R. 3261. They just introduced that bill October 25th, and they are to take over the internet and put it under Eric Holder, put it under the Justice Department. The internet is under the government in China, and they want to use those two bills to put the internet under the government in America.
Wow, that's really something. You hear that, Ralph? Can you comment
Why
on that?
Why do I hear that, Ken? You see, one of the things we have to understand, and I'm glad you're on, Reverend, because you point out the lack of validity on the part of anything that is America, and to show how they can shut down our information, they have shut down WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, the Chase Manhattan Visa, all of the credit cards, all of the Western Union is refusing to send money that people have sent to WikiLeaks. So they have shut down their ability to raise money. So we must understand that these institutions are not there for us. These institutions are controlled by those who have money, and we have to understand our political parties are institutions controlled by those who have money, and that Mr. Obama is merely the black face on white imperialism. But we have to keep saying it over and over and giving examples. Yes, and now they want to shut down everything, what little we have left. And I tell you, if Mary is right, calling the warning, you know, you are right, calling us, you know, like DePaul Revere, going down the street. It's not the British are coming. The American government is here. The American imperialists and the rich are here. And we need these town criers such as yourself telling us every day. We need to read what our intellectuals are telling us. You know, and I say our intellectuals. Let's be careful. And Cornel West ain't one of them. And Tavis Smiley isn't one of them. We have them who have been in our program and have spoken over and over and over again to educate us as to who our enemies are. So, Mary, keep it going. Rev, keep it going. We must make people aware that our institutions, those things that we call our institutions, are the institutions of the others.
Hey, Ralph, let me say this right fast. Hold on, Mary. Mary, hold on. Let me say this.
Okay.
Before we go any further, the message that I think that all of us should be on the same page and talk about, which I think is so important, is that we have to get in the minds of the people and let them know that we can win. See,
yes.
that's the weapon that they're using against
yes.
us. They think that we can't win anything. Every time we talk to somebody, I think when we leave that person, our message should be that we can win. See, that's why this issue with Whirlpool is so important, because we're actually whooping them. We're giving them a whooping, and we're doing it it's done by the people. It's not done by Reverend Pinckney alone. It's done by the whole country, because it could not be accomplished without this. So anytime that, you know, we put something out there, and then when we talk about different things, we should, you know, when we have a victory or something like that, we got to flaunt it in their face. We got to let them know that we know that we won this battle. It might even be a small battle. It might be just a cricket. It might be anything. But my thing is that we have to let people know. And
well, Reverend
until
Pinckney,
we start letting
in this
them know,
whirlpool battle,
you're never going
to
get anywhere.
We have to let everybody know that you're the quarterback there. You made the calls before people knew what Whirlpool stood for. You were talking about it and fighting these people. So, yes, we got a victory, but the victory is not complete yet. We're still working on
not.
It. And quarterback Pinckney, keep us going. Tell us what we must do, because we have to bring these people to their knees, where they have to talk to somebody who's working in our interest to solve
absolutely.
The problem.
The next person, we should be hitting General Motors and hitting these banks.
Right on.
We can actually bring these banks to their knees, too. This
certainly
is something
can.
That most people don't quite understand. We can do it if we all work together.
Yes,
that
and
so
when
true,
people
Robert,
were trying to take their money.
That is the problem. They don't want people to work together, but we're doing it anyway. And the Occupy movement, I want to congratulate everyone who is in it and who supports it. You're scaring them to death. You're scaring them to death because you're winning. You're winning. The thing is that in Atlanta, we have a situation that shows how brave they are of unity among the races. When the white people were out doing Occupy, and it was mostly white, there wasn't a problem. Mayor Reed was welcoming to them, actually welcoming to them, occupying Woodward Park, which they named for Davis Park downtown. But then they had a hip-hop concert last Saturday, and plenty of blacks were drawn to the movement. And when that happened, immediately, and they don't hide it, they say it was because of the hip-hop concert, they were going to get the heck out of that park. They cannot be there anymore. Also, another thing that happened is some Native Americans joined Occupy Atlanta. And at that point, these people have been so tolerant, as long as it was mostly white, all of a sudden their attitudes changed. And now Occupy Atlanta is moving from park to park, place to place, having to move on top of street outdoors. But we shall overcome. And that shows that they do not want unity. That is what scares them. And that is
absolutely.
What Occupy is doing. And that is
absolutely.
What you're doing.
Let me say this, Mary. Instead, you know, we should be occupying everything. It's enough
everything.
Of us to cover everything. There's nothing in the city of Atlanta that we should be covering. There's nothing in the city of New York we should not be covering. There's nothing in the state of Michigan or in Benton Harbor we should not be covering. We should occupy everything. Everything that there is, we should have somebody there occupying. So that's what we have to
do. Occupy the courtrooms up there in Benton Harbor.
Absolutely.
That's what I do.
But
I'm asking people to occupy their telephones and occupy your emails. Contact your representatives on the national level, that's Congress and Senate, and tell them, hell no, you will not take the internet. You will not take it and put it under the Justice Department. Please call them and write them. Occupy your telephones where you are. Occupy your email boxes and call and contact your representatives and
absolutely.
Say no to Senate Bill 968. Say no to H.R. 3261.
Very good. And, Ralph, you got about a minute, so say whatever you need to say, and let's take it from there.
Yes. We must first occupy our minds to understand who our friends and who our enemies are. And we must occupy our minds with the understanding that it is not the color of the skin, it is not the name of the political party. We are, and as everything is, as we do. Just look and examine everything what we do, and then we will know exactly who we are and who we can ally ourselves with. And let us support those who support us. Numero uno. Let us support those who support us. And when we do
Amen.
That, it will not go wrong. Thank you.
All right. Amen. See, and listen, on this note, I'm going to tell everybody, we have to move this thing to a whole different level. We got to start thinking positive, start thinking as a group, not just as individuals anymore. Matter of fact, we have to start like we're doing now. We got to occupy everything. Then we got to pull it all together. See, what we're doing is nice to have it in Atlanta and all across the country, but we got to pull it together so we can have a concrete platform to let the people know that we're serious about what we're doing. Until we get serious, I mean, actually serious, because some of us, I mean, this is the first opportunity we have had where it's been in so many different states and so many different places. This is, I look at this as an opportunity. I just wish I had the finance to go to each place and try to pull people together and tell them to know that we got to take this thing to a different level. But look, we're here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and I'm telling you this. We don't know whose side these folks are. These folks are switching sides so fast that you don't know what to do. You know, you think that you're out here trying to help this guy get elected, and the next thing you know, they're riding a whirlpool, a washer and a dryer somewhere, you know. So this is what we have to battle with. But the point is, we're going to let the chips fall where they may. We're going to take our time, and we're going to do what needs to be done and take this thing to a whole different level. But on that note, we have just ran out of time.
Okay. Good night, all. Much love.
Good night, and thank both of y'all. And I tell you, hey, this is get to be excited. Mary, get that phone fixed, and we'll take it from there.
God
bless
you,
y'all. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
God bless you.
All right.